But the most glaring similarity between Nazi Germany, New Deal America, and Fascist Italy wasn't their economic policies, it was their common glorification of war. Fascist New Deals. The core value of original fascism, in the eyes of most observers, was its imposition of war values on society. This perception, or misperception, depending on how it is articulated, is so fundamental to the popular understanding of fascism that I must return to it several times in this book. The chief appeal of war to social planners isn't conquest or death, but mobilization. Free societies are disorganized. People do their own thing, more or less, and that can be downright inconvenient if you're trying to plan the entire economy from a boardroom somewhere. War brings conformity and unity of purpose. The ordinary rules of behavior are mothballed. You can get things done, build roads, hospitals, houses, domestic populations, and institutions were required to do their part. Many progressives probably would have preferred a different organizing principle, which is why William James spoke of the moral equivalent of war. He wanted all the benefits, Dewey's social possibilities of war, without the costs. Hence, in more recent times, the left has looked to everything from environmentalism and global warming to public health and diversity as war equivalents to cajole the public into expert-driven unity. But at the time, the progressives just couldn't think of anything else that did the trick. Martial virtues, James famously wrote, must be the enduring cement of American society. Intrepidity, contempt of softness, surrender of private interest, obedience to command must still remain the rock upon which states are built. In Italy, many of the first fascists were veterans who donned paramilitary garb. The fascist artistic movement, Futurism, glorified war in prose, poetry, and paint. Mussolini was a true voluptuary of battle, rhetorically and literally. War alone brings up to its highest tension all human energy and puts the stamp of nobility upon the peoples who have the courage to meet it, he declared in a Jamesian spirit in the Encyclopedia Italiana's entry on fascism. Meanwhile, from the movement's origin as the German Fighting League against inter-slavery, the Nazis were always a paramilitary organization, determined to recapture the esprit de corps of the Great War, the socialism of the trenches. Still, not every fascist pounding the table about war actually wanted one. Mussolini didn't launch a war until a full 16 years into his reign. Even his Ethiopian adventure was motivated by a desire to revitalize fascism's flagging domestic fortunes. Hitler did not commence his military buildup at once either. Indeed, while solidifying power, he cultivated an image as a peacemaker, an image many Western pacifists were willing to indulge in good faith. But few dispute that he saw war as a means as much as an end. With the election of Franklin Roosevelt, the progressives who'd sought to remake America through war socialism were back in power. While they professed to eschew dogma, they couldn't be more dogmatically convinced that World War I had been a successful experiment. Had not the experiences of the Soviet Union and Fascist Italy in the 1920s proved that America had dropped the ball by relinquishing war socialism?